You are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks. Welcome to the show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth, thanks for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. Some of you are joining us for the first time tonight. Welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here. This is Open Line Live tonight. That usually rocks and rolls because we'll talk about whatever is on your mind. So you get to choose the subject, and we will open the telephones here in just a little bit. A couple of things in the news that are pretty interesting. I got an email today and followed the link, and it was pretty interesting. There's a former U.S. Air Force guy that apparently is reporting that the Phoenix Lights event was real. It was the real thing. He says that two flights of F-16s were scrambled to try and intercept this object that was in the air that they did see on their radar, and they were not able to intercept it. He says that the object did show up on their radar, and that according to this report, intelligence units were all, and I quote, abuzz about this, and that they ordered that flares be dropped as a cover story. So that's pretty interesting. Now, the thing is, there's no name on the report that I read, and I think that's understandable. The guy, you know, if he says, I don't want to be identified, I think that's understandable. But, of course, that makes it unavailable for verification. You can't verify anything if you don't know who it is, and if you can't even verify, you know, who it is that's reporting this. So perhaps it's true, perhaps it's not true, anyway, that's hitting the news out there. Now, last night's guest was John Vasquez, and you may, if you heard the show, you will remember he talked to us about this purported UFO crash. It happened in 2006. It's now being reported, or it was reported in 2008. And it was a crash that, according to the report, happened near Fort Benning. And it was a bell-shaped UFO. Remember that? I said during the show, well, that sounds something like the Kecksburg incident. And it does. But I started thinking about this, and it seems to me that I have heard somewhere about another bell-shaped UFO either crashing or being reported flying across the sky. So I don't know. It just seems to me that I've heard of another incident involving a bell-shaped UFO. I can't remember where it was. I can't remember when it was. And I'm just interested in this. If you know about it, would you email me? It's not the Kecksburg incident. I know about that one. It's not this one that's reported as being near Fort Benning. We heard about that last night. It's another one. But I just can't seem to remember where it was or when it was supposed to have happened. And if you know about it, email me and let me know, because that's keeping me awake at night. And yeah, are you like that? You know, something's on your mind, and you know that there's something that you're supposed to be remembering, and you just don't. Well, help me sleep at night. If you know about that other one, let me know. All right, we'll be back with Open Line Live right after this break. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and this is going to be Open Line Live. That means that you get to call in and state what it is that you want to talk about, and we'll talk about it, all right? As long as it's not politics, we'll let you pick the topic. I got a couple of things I want to address here before we open the line, so just bear with me for a moment, all right? Some of the music that we use on the show, you see the name on some of the music. It says the music by Dadumi, D-A-D-U-M-I. And then when the credits roll at the end of the show, you see that name again. And so I've gotten, I don't know, four or five emails in the past, over the past, oh, two, 3 weeks, wanting to know, who is Dadumi? So let me tell you who Dadumi is. Dadumi is a, he's one of the listeners, one of our listeners. He's in Romania. He teaches English in Romania, and he composes music on his computer, produces it with his computer. So that's who Dadumi is. Every once in a while on Steel Eye Media Network, there is a Dadumi Hour, and the music that's played is all Dadumi music. But that is who is Dadumi. Some of the emails said, I've looked for Dadumi at GarageBand.com. I can't find anything. Okay. He sends it to me directly. He emails me the music. But now you know who is Dadumi. Okay. Interesting thing is happening over in the UK. There is a candidate for prime minister there by the name of David Cameron. And while I'm not going at in any way to get into the politics, I don't know anything about the politics there. And I wouldn't discuss it if I did. But where a politician does something or says something that touches our genre, the genre of this show, we will talk about what they've done or what they've said that touches the things that we talk about. And this guy's name is David Cameron, and apparently he has said that if he is elected as prime minister of the UK, then he is going to be frank and open completely about UFOs. And so that's making big news. Also, India is saying that they are going to put a man on the moon by 2020. And they certainly have made huge strides in their space program in a very short period of time, and they say they are going to put a man on the moon by 2020. So that's big news. That's making the news out there as well. All right, we can talk about any of those things if you wish to, or we can talk about, let's see, whatever you want to talk about, all right? So let me get our telephones all ready to rock and roll here. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, yes, it's Kevin from Iroquois Falls, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin from Iroquois Falls. How are you this evening?
I'm doing all right. By the way, that bell-shaped UFO you were talking about, would that be one out of Channelview, Texas on May the 10th, 2007?
You know, it might be. I've run across another bell-shaped UFO report out there somewhere, and I just can't remember. I'll check. You said Channel View, Texas?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, I'll check on that and read that report and see if that's the one. I don't know if that is the one, but I'll be able to tell when I read the report.
And, Kev, are you going to be back in the Los Angeles area anytime soon? Because I think there's the Conscious Life Expo you might want to check out there in February.
Well, I don't know that I will be. If they want to bring me out to cover it, they can contact me, and I'll be glad to make arrangements for that. You know, I don't go and just set up and cover all of these conferences. Some talk shows do that. I don't. And part of the reason I don't do that, Kevin, is because the funds that it takes to do that are desperately needed to keep the lights on and keep the internet broadband going and keep the equipment tuned up and so forth to make sure this show continues night after night.
I know.
I'll tell you, you know, I went out to Hollywood and covered that premiere. Now, they paid my expenses to come do that. Now, I set up the automation software so that it would play, do rebroadcast on Thursday night and Friday night. Now, when I didn't know that it didn't do it, okay? And when I got back here and walked into the studio, I checked my email, and I had notices from people all over the world saying, where's the show? Okay, so I checked the computer that runs the automation software, and it shows that it ran. But it also shows that there was a power down of the computer. Now, figure this, Kevin. If you turn this computer off, or if the power goes out, it does not, if the power comes back on, it does not start the computer. You have to push a button to start the computer.
Yeah.
So this computer was still on, but the log showed it had powered down. And I don't know. I have no explanation for it.
It could have been the people that are attacking you again. That could be. They might have known that you weren't at the studio and they decided to do something. On another note,
could be.
I know we don't... am I still on?
Yeah.
Okay. I know you don't like to get into... We don't get into the realm of conspiracies very much, but you know, this is also another recent development. You know, when it comes to the realm of conspiracies and New World Order stuff, there's no conspiracy that has been laughed at more than that of the FEMA camps. Well, guess what? The U.S. Congress just passed legislation to allow these FEMA camps to exist. So they're pretty much, in essence, admitting to the existence of these concentration camps within North America.
Yeah, I got some email about that. I don't know if it came in last night or today, but I read it this morning. And that's rather ominous.
Yeah, it is. But you know what? If they're going to come up with those kind of conspiracies, I've heard people say that the conspiracy about the FEMA camps is more ridiculous than that of the UFO cover-up. So if they're going to come out with admitting these things, maybe they're going to start admitting about alien life also.
Well, they might. Now, let me tell you something. Nick Pope just spoke out in the UK. You know who Nick Pope is?
Absolutely. He's one of the top ufologists out of the UK.
Yeah. Now, he just spoke out, and he said that I watched it, okay? I saw this on Fox News. And he said, you know, these things are real. And, yes, 95% of the things that get reported as being UFOs can be explained away, and they're not UFOs, but there are real ones. And the UK has had directives in place now for a long time with their Air Force that they send planes up to try and shoot them down. And he even said And this is a quote. He said there have even been some dogfights between the jets and the UFOs.
Actually, I was just about to talk about that because the light came on in my head and was thinking about bell-shaped UFOs. You remember Dick Criswell? He spoke about a dogfight of UFOs over Kokomo, Indiana some time ago. And one of those UFOs was a bell-shaped UFO.
Yeah, yeah. But now what Nick Pope was talking about was dogfights between UFOs and RAF jets. And when he finished talking and they cut back to the studio, they focused on the female anchor. I can't think of her name. And she said, "Ah, Nick Pope is, this guy's what, a former government official with the MOD UFO investigation? Who even knew that such a thing existed?" And I said last night, "Dear everyone except major media." Everyone knew, except major media. These people are so incredibly ignorant. It's just impossible to even wrap your mind around the darkness that exists in the minds of major media.
And you know what the sad part is? I'm working for major media right now.
Are you?
Well, I am doing my placement at a radio station, so Rogers.
Well, maybe you can educate them a little.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, when I'm not on the air. When we talk to the fellas backstage, they are very well open to talk about the UFO issue, about the New World Order issue, but of course it's not stuff that they could talk about on the mainstream media. They know about it, but they're just not allowed to talk about it because it doesn't come across the news wires.
Yeah, you're not allowed to talk about anything real, just icing and candy.
Well, it is music radio too, so it's kind of the thing. You just can't say on that kind of radio. But
yeah. Okay, well, look, Kevin, I'm going to run, take another call, but thank you so much for the call. Always interesting to talk with you.
All right, Kev, have yourself a good night.
All right, bye. All right, folks, it is Open Line Live. That means that whatever you wish to talk about, we will talk about. The telephone number is 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814. That will work from anywhere in the world. Of course, you dial 1-623-237-3814, and that will get you here, okay? All right, let's go back to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's Doug in Canada. How are you this evening?
Outstanding, Doug. How are you?
Not too bad playing tag with Kevin here. Anyways, I wanted to shed light on this, or ask if you could shed light on the Saudi Arabia crash that has happened recently. I've come across a couple articles on the internet, but you had said that there was some articles retrieved from that, and I haven't come across that yet. Is there any way you can?
No, I didn't say that. I think either a guest or a caller said that, and I have seen some photographs of it.
That could be possible.
Yeah, I have seen photographs of this thing going across the sky.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty neat, eh?
Yeah, you saw the photographs as well?
Yeah, I did, actually. I'm looking forward to getting, actually, the Ed Grimsley DVD from you, actually, that you have available on your website.
Now, let me grab one and hold it up here.
There
we go. That's what he's talking about. Oop, upside down. Let's turn that over. English works better when it's right side up.
He's teasing you now, folks. He's teasing you now. Anyways, Kevin, great show. Thank you so much. Look forward to receiving that.
All right. It's on the way.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right. 623-237-3814 is the number to call. And we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. It doesn't have to be about UFOs, you know. Anything strange and unexplained. One of the things that I have always found interesting, and maybe you do too, are the stories about Atlantis and the lost continent of Mu. Now, when I was in junior high school, I read the book called The Lost Continent of Mu, M-U, written by, I can't think of the first name, his last name was Churchward. And it was absolutely a fascinating book. I don't know if it's still available. I bet your library has a copy of it, but you ought to get that and read it. It's called The Lost Continent of Mu. And Mu, of course, is where you've heard people talk about the Lemurians. Well, that is where they are alleged to have come from. And so that's well worth checking into and reading about. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don.
Hi, Don.
How you doing tonight?
Outstanding, sir. How are you?
Pretty good. Yeah, real good.
Don, yeah, hang on. I'm going to turn your volume up just a little bit
okay here.
All right. There
I ordered
we go.
One of your DVDs the other day, and I'm looking forward to getting it. Yeah, the only problem with that DVD is I hope I'm not going to get hooked and have to sell one of my kidneys to get some of those night scopes. I would love to be able to see some UFOs like that.
Well, I tell you, I saw them on the DVD before I went out to California. And while I was out there, you know, it rained the whole time I was there, virtually the whole time, but there was a period of time for about 20 minutes where the clouds broke just a little bit on Sunday night, and we were able to do a little bit of sky watching through the holes in the clouds. And I'm not kidding you, both me and Bill Rayling, both, he had a set and I had a set of the night vision goggles, and both of us saw two UFOs. Now, people might say, well, how do you know it was UFOs? Because I know what it wasn't. I know for sure it wasn't birds, because birds still look like birds in night vision. I know for sure it wasn't bugs, because they still look like bugs in night vision. And these were really high up. So how do you know it's not satellites? Well, because satellites follow a single path across the sky. They don't do maneuvers. And they move slowly to our vision. They're moving thousands of miles an hour, but to our vision, at this distance, it looks slow. We had one in front of the other. Okay? And these were flying rapidly across the sky and did a turn, did a maneuver. And then they were behind the clouds. How high were they? Well, I don't know how high they were, but I know you could not see them with the naked eye.
Well, I was watching one of his videos on his website, and you could clearly make out this classic saucer-shaped disc. And this thing was wobbling around, and you could see completely three-dimensional image, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You could totally make out that this was a saucer.
Yeah.
That, to me, amazed.
Yeah, and I was amazed when I looked through the night vision at how clear that is. When you look at the DVD, it's clear. You can see exactly what you know what you're looking at when you see it. But when you look through the night vision, you're not going from night vision to a camera and then to a DVD. It's just your eye and the night vision. And it is crystal clear.
You know what I want to do? I want to take it across the street to my neighbors and strap it on his arrogant head, show him that UFOs do exist, and stop this damn chuckling at me.
Let him chuckle. You know, there's so little to chuckle at in the world today. Let him be happy.
These people don't have a clue. They don't educate themselves. They think they're just being smarter by chuckling.
Well, that's it. It is a nervous reaction that's intended to make people feel superior, and it just proves how inferior their information is. Hey, we're into a break. You want to hang on, or is that about do it?
That'll do it. Yep.
Hey, thanks for the call. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. And it is Open Line Live tonight. Any subject you want to talk about, any guest we've had, any show we've done, maybe something you've read in maybe on the internet, or maybe you've run across it on in the newspaper or whatever, whatever topic it is that's on your mind this evening, we'll go for it, as long as it's not politics, all right? And look, it doesn't have to be UFOs. When we do Open Line Live, anything strange and unexplained is on the table, all right? So let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Let's try it again. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name. There we go. All right. Let's give it another try and see what happens here. All right. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello.
You're on the air.
Hi, Kevin. It's Kevin from Northern Alberta calling tonight.
Hi, Kevin.
How are you doing?
I am doing great, sir.
Good. You're over your jet lag and your trip, though?
Oh yeah! Look, you don't get I don't get jet lag when it's a 12-hour trip. That shouldn't be a 12-hour trip. That's an hour and a half. It still took 12 hours to get from from Burbank, California, back to Phoenix.
Did they take milk run?
Yeah, it was a whole bunch of different things that all got messed up. But I finally got here. But yeah, I tell you, when I get jet lag. Last time I went home to Thailand, the only way that I could connect up with the flights that I needed, the flights that connect me with the ones that I actually needed, those connecting flights were full. So to go from here to Los Angeles, I had to first fly from Phoenix to Chicago. I had to wait for 8 hours. And catch a flight going to Los Angeles to connect up with a flight that was going to Tokyo to connect with a flight that was going to Bangkok. And then I had to wait. At each stop, I had to wait, you know, like a couple of hours or more. In Bangkok, I had to wait 5 hours to catch the flight going from Bangkok up to where my house is. And so the whole thing was just over 40 hours.
Now, that's got to be a nightmare.
And I had jet lag.
Yeah, I bet. Anyways, I was going to ask about the show that you went to this weekend. Was there a reception before the actual film was shown?
There was no reception. People were just, the VIPs that had been invited were just sort of mingling in the lobby. And, but there was no actual reception. And then they opened the doors, and the public came in, and the thing started.
Okay. What was the general consensus from, let's say, the VIPs, without naming names?
It was mixed. 100% of the people that I talked to gave this film very high marks for technical production value. You know, that it really was well done. Some people said, you know, I just didn't see anything in there that showed me that there were structures on the moon. I was amazed to hear that. Now, there were only, I would say, maybe 1 or 2% that said that. But I was amazed to hear that. Because I look at these kind of pictures every single day, Kevin. I get them in the email. People send me things that, you know, oh, I found this, I found that. Take a look at this link. So I see the pictures. I see videos released by NASA that someone has enhanced, and, you know, you can see things. I look at this stuff every day. Now, I broadcast 5 days a week. I work 7 days a week. And I look at this stuff 7 days a week, and I've been doing that now for years. So to show me something I haven't seen, that's pretty good. You're doing something. And this movie had things in it that I had never seen. And to me, the most impressive one was a photograph that NASA calls the blank. And they call it the blank because they say the data transmission was just messed up, and it's all snowy. You know, it just looks like white noise. But with the digital enhancement capabilities that they have now, they were able to sort of clear out some of the snow so you could see what was there. And there's a pyramid. And it's a big pyramid. And it's not taken from satellite. It's taken from ground level. And when I say taken, I mean, you know, the picture was not shot by a satellite. This was shot from ground level. And you're looking at a big pyramid. It's not something that's sort of shaped like a pyramid. It is a pyramid.
Great.
Now, the interesting thing about this, Kevin, after you look at the one that they did the digital enhancement, and then you look back at the original, you can see in the original that outline of the pyramid. Your eye misses it at first, but once you know it's there, you can see it in the original. It is there.
Cool. Now, what are they planning to do with this movie? Are they going to put it out for the general public in major theaters?
It's my understanding that that is what they plan to do, and it may come out, and I'm sure it will come out as a DVD eventually, but they are planning to put it in the theaters.
Well, good. That raised some awareness and maybe some eyebrows in John Q. Public, for instance.
Yeah. For my money, I would say that it's well worth seeing. I saw things that I have never seen before. And as I say, when you show me some pictures of the moon or you show me some pictures of Mars that I haven't seen before, you've gone some distance.
Okay. And what about the UFOs that you actually saw through the night vision? I guess that must have been pretty special.
Oh, it was pretty cool. What happened was... there was an opening in the clouds, and just kind of a hole in the clouds, you know. And I pointed the night vision up there and was watching, and here they came right across that opening.
So you're a firm believer in the night vision theory, then?
No. I don't believe anything. I know.
pardon me.
Yeah, I know. I know that with night vision, you will see things very high up in the sky that you cannot explain by any conventional means.
Well, good. I look forward to receiving the DVD you offered as well. I'll tell you, where I live, it's there's no city light at all. It's darkness, and you can see the constellations beautifully. Unfortunately, if I was to buy a pair of night vision glasses, they'd have to come with four-wheel drive at that price.
Well, myself included, they're pretty expensive, pretty expensive. But I'll tell you this, when you look through those night vision glasses, you will see things. First of all, look at the sky, and you see all the stars and the constellations, all the galaxies. You see it all out there, everything with the naked eye. You put these to your eyes and look up, and you will see several orders of magnitude more that your naked eye could not see.
Great. Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Anywho, I don't know. That's been a great show, and I look forward to hearing more about this.
All right, man. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. All right, folks, open line live, whatever it is you wish to talk about, we will talk about it, as long as we stay out of politics, all right? Telephone number is 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814. And also, if you're outside of the United States, if you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message simply by going to my website. The website is kevinsmithshow.com. Now, when you go to the website, you will just scroll down, and you'll see in green letters a link that says Flash Message, all right? And the Flash, you click that and send me the Flash Message. And the reason we call it that is because a little signal flashes on my screen over here. We did go through some a period of time where the I was really having to fight the technology, and the reason was we were getting interference from outside. We've been able to block that interference for right now. The technology's doing what it's supposed to be doing. But during that period of time, when I'm really having to fight the technology to stay on the air, and so that you can continue to hear and see the show, I don't have time to check the and read the flash messages because I'm turning knobs and clicking buttons and doing things to bypass things so we can keep broadcasting. We're not having that problem tonight, and I think we have backed it off for a little while. So if you send me a flash message, I certainly will read it. For instance, I've got one here from New Zealand, and it's in response to my request about bell-shaped UFOs. And it says, this may help, and there's a link here. And this is from David in New Zealand. So I have read it, and I appreciate the response. But just go to my website, and on my website you will see the link for flash messages. What do you think about this whole thing of, look, it's still open line, all right? I'm just asking a question, though. What do you think about Atlantis? Is that for real, or is it entirely 100% fictional, mythical, not real? And what do you think about this lost continent of Mu, M-U? The difference, of course, is Atlantis was in the area of what we call the Atlantic Ocean. The lost continent of Mu was supposed to be in the area we call the Pacific Ocean. And the stories are that they were submerged, they were lost. We heard from Jerry Wills about this doorway at Aramuru. He said that this king of that area had come from Mu, and that this doorway apparently originates from that time, and that he was in fact from that lost continent of Mu. And we've heard about the Lemurians, and I've heard people say, and I've read on the internet, that in fact a lot of the ancient gods of people in Central and South America, in Mexico, Central and South America, a lot of those ancient gods were Lemurians. Well, what do you think about that? Maybe you've got some information on that. I'm not sure what I think about it. I've always been fascinated, though, with this lost continent of Mu. And, well, ever since I read that book when I was in high school, I checked that out of the junior high, not high school. I checked that out of the school library and read it. I wonder if those kinds of books are still allowed in school libraries, but that's where it was. I checked it out and read it and found it to be thoroughly fascinating. I'm also fascinated with Atlantis. Is it real? And if it's real, what about that high technology? All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, we are going to open up the phone lines for you, and you get to choose what we talk about, all right? We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. We are open line live. We'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. You know something I haven't done? I know that we have people in the audience who are into astrology. They're into tarot. There are people that are psychic. And I haven't asked anybody yet to make a prediction about the Super Bowl. You got one? We'd love to hear it. All right. You are a live caller on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey in Louisiana.
Hi, Trey in Louisiana. How are you this evening?
Fine, Kevin, fine. The Atlantis, I think it's possible. It's probably underwater is one possibility. I mean, if we know eventually one day Hawaii will be underwater, and if, you know, someone was talking about the lost continent of Hawaii, to us, it wouldn't be that remarkable sounding, but, you know, in a few thousand years, add on some technology that they don't have then, well, then it might sound remarkable to them, and I think that's the context we look at it.
So you think that the stories about Atlantis and the lost continent of Mu are reality?
Well, it's a real possibility. I mean, it's...
All right, well, and let me ask you something about that. There's this theory out there that Atlantis used to be situated in an area so that what we call the Bermuda Triangle, Atlantis, part of Atlantis, was right there. What do you think about that theory? You think the Bermuda Triangle and Atlantis have some sort of linkage?
Well, if you take that and the other parts of the stories I've heard people mention about them messing around with, you know, different kind of technology and, you know, definitely more than what we have, but maybe something went wrong. And that's, you know, why the Bermuda Triangle has the effect it does on other things. So.
Well, it could be. What do you think about the Bermuda Triangle and the stories about it? Do you think those are, is it real, or are people just sort of stringing together some bad coincidences and saying there's something happening here?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely something happening, because you wouldn't have all these pilots doing what they're doing. And, you know, the area itself, we know the effect it has on planes and the navigation and the compass and all that stuff. We know that's real. But maybe that all ties together as far as that goes. But all I'm saying is that, you know, for us, the story of Atlantis and the Atlanteans, I think all that makes people think that it is amazing sounding is that they have better technology than we have right now, not to the fact that they existed. But, of course, a lot of the other story, too, would probably, sound a lot kind of out there to other people about, you know, the giants and all that other thing. So.
Okay, now let me ask you this. I want you to consider the Atlanteans and when it is that they were supposed to have existed. And tell me this, are they human, or are they a race that looks like us maybe, but not really the same as us? Is it a different race?
Yeah, they're probably a little different, Kevin, and probably a little the same, but I think they're basically the last experiment, because we heard them talking about they had a too strong a sex drive and several other faults. And, well, you know, there's they're kind of like us. We do. We not all of us, but you can definitely, there's certain humans that have problems too you know, big of a sex drive, and it's actually considered a problem to them in their life. And so I think that was just last day's experiment, and maybe, you know, we don't have as good a technology, or maybe we're not, we can't do the same things they could do because they figured we didn't need it, and so they kind of back us down or maybe make us smaller this time. I don't know. I think it was just a different phase of the experiment, and the experiment didn't work out too well, and we are another phase, or maybe the next one.
What about the lost continent of Mu?
I don't know anything about that, Kevin. I couldn't tell you. I've never heard of that, and you just mentioned it a minute ago.
Yeah, you need to get your hands on that book if it's still around and read it. It's not very big. It's a small book. It's a fast read, but it's written by Churchward was the name, and it's called The Lost Continent of Mu, and fascinating reading. Even for someone who was in junior high at the time, I thought it was captivating reading.
Is there anything in it that you remember that rings a bell with any other stories or mythology or anything like that?
Well, the story is very similar to the story about Atlantis, there are some differences in it, but it is similar. And I'm thinking, I don't know this to be a fact, but I'm thinking that perhaps the event that brought about the demise of Atlantis may have taken Mu out too. It may have been, you know, a worldwide cataclysm.
Yeah, like us opening up Pandora's box, so that, to speak, and then, you know,
could be
that happen.
Could be.
All right, appreciate
it. Hey, thanks for the call. All right, folks, the telephone line is open, and the floor is yours. If we have whatever it is you wish to talk about, but if we have someone who is psychic and can give us a reading about this Super Bowl coming up, or maybe you are an astrologer and you've already cast this and you've got a prediction about the Super Bowl that's coming up, I'd be interested in hearing it. The telephone number is on the screen, but for those of you who are not looking at the screen, let me tell you the telephone number. It is 623-237-3814. If you call and the lines are busy, you're going to hear a message that says that the number's not working, or you can't be reached. I can't be reached at this time. That the number is working, but that's just the message you get. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. It's David here from New Zealand. How you doing?
Outstanding, David.
It's a beautiful day over there today.
It here in the Phoenix, Arizona area has been just a glorious day. Absolutely beautiful today.
Very nice. Well, yes, talking about Atlantis, huh?
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Well, from a mainstream archaeology point of view, I suspect the best place would probably be Santorini in the middle of the Mediterranean. But, however, what I find interesting, and throw this out to your rest of your callers, is that you find throughout a lot of mythology, all the way around the world, specifically around the Pacific Rim, you find flood mythology everywhere. As if, you know, a continent or an island has actually sunk. I do remember from my university days is, if you look at the last ice age, we go back 10,000 years or so, the sea level has risen very significantly since then, around a good sort of 200-300 feet. So,
yeah,
you know, it's possible. Even if you just want to look at it and say, no, it's not aliens, it was physically a civilization of our own, and we developed fairly advanced civilization, and it got flooded. Maybe. That's an idea to put out there.
It very well could be the case. You know, we've been living in global warming since the end of the Ice Age. That's what ended the Ice Age. And if you can imagine, where did all that ice go? Into the ocean.
Into the ocean. It got a lot deeper.
Yeah, it did. All right, David, what, do you use Skype to call?
No, I'm just calling on a landline here out of my office.
Oh, I see.
Beautiful day here at about 5 o'clock in New Zealand.
All right. Wow. Well, listen, I appreciate the call. I love your part of the world. I've never been to New Zealand. I have been to Australia, so I was not far from you. But one day I hope to get to New Zealand.
Oh, you should come here. Christchurch is a beautiful place this time of year, especially when we've had a northwest wind through and it's getting really hot.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, mate.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, a call from New Zealand. All right, we have, in about 1 minute, we have a break coming up. We will open the telephone lines after that break and take your calls again. If I took your call right now, you simply wouldn't have time to say what's on your mind, and I want you to have that time. During the break, I don't know if you can do astrology this fast. I don't know. I'm not an astrologer. But those of you who are astrologers, take a look at the Super Bowl. Who's going to win that thing? Is it going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers or the Arizona Cardinals? You know who I am rooting for, right? Yeah, we'll leave it to your imagination. But tonight is Open Line Live. That means we will discuss anything that's on your mind. You don't have to talk about the topics I've brought up. We'll talk about any topic that's on your mind that's in our genre. And we'll run with it, okay? You get to decide. We'll be back right after this. welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's Open Line Live. We try to do at least one Open Line Live each week. Some weeks we don't get it in because the guests that we have scheduled have only certain days available, and sometimes it packs all into one week. But we try to do Open Line Live each week because you are what the show is all about. All across the United States, all across Canada, all across the UK, all across Europe, all across Africa and Australia and Asia, you are listening to the show. I left something out. All across South America, you're listening to the show. You have things on your mind that you would like for us to talk about, and we would love to do so. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Terry from Ohio.
Hi, Terry.
How are we doing?
Outstanding, sir.
I'm trying to absorb this Ed Grimsley stuff and what they're seeing up there. I was wondering, can you tell me, do they see these ships that are fighting each other? Are they distinguishable between each other, or are they
identical? Yes.
Pardon me?
Yes. They are distinguishable. Some of what you will see through night vision are delta-shaped, triangular-shaped. And obviously, that's not a star. I think probably most of them, the ones I saw, are circular. You know, they're round. But I think probably most of them that you will see are the round ones, and I'm surmising that based on what is in the DVD and also based on what I saw when I looked through the night vision. But some of them are delta-shaped. Some of them are circular. And there's absolutely no question as to what they are not. Absolutely no question. They are not satellites. They are not stars. They are not balloons with flares. They are way up there. They are out in space. And some of them are massive. Most of them are not. Some are. And really big. So I don't know what... I cannot say what they are. I can say what they are not. Stars don't fly in formation and do maneuvers and turn around and go the other direction and skip across the sky. Satellites don't do that either.
Yeah, I just trying to, if we're having battles up there, and Ed's seen these since when he was quite young, that these guys either were blessed with the top gunners and, the best race is watching over us, or they're very unlucky that they haven't been able to get to us one way or another, like, taking out the space station or I can't think of the names of the ships that we're using.
Well, here's the thing. Ed doesn't make any suppositions about, or if he does, he doesn't make them public, about who's flying these things. Is it us? Is it aliens? Is it good guys, bad guys? He doesn't say. He says, who knows who they are. But the fact that you can see them through night vision, is a fact. And if you've been listening to the show for the past several days, you've heard callers who have called in and said, I've got night vision goggles. I look at them. Yes, it's real. And it's not Ed Grimsley saying it. So this is not just one lonely voice out there. In fact, there are people all over the world who have formed Skywatch clubs, and they go in, put their money together, and buy some night vision, good night vision goggles. I call them goggles. I don't know what you call them. I don't know what the technical name is, but eyeglasses, I guess. And they put their money together, form a club, put their money together, buy these, and then they go out and do Skywatches together. And there's people all over the world that are seeing these things. So, you know, it's not one lonely voice making a claim that can't be verified. It is verifiable.
Yeah, there's, you know, several other shows I've watched and listened to, other people swear to it. It just, you know, it just, you know, we're flying up there. All these other countries, China, like you said, India, they're all thinking about going to the moon, and it's that dangerous up there. I mean, unless we're escorted, you know, and protected there and back, you know, I just don't have a concept in that. Or other the, or otherwise, what I'm just trying to think is what you think. Are they actually in our three-dimensional, or do you think they're in interdimensional, but yet we're just seeing the light source from it? Like, maybe we could be, one of our ships could even fly right through one of these sites that you're seeing. And occupy the same space, but yet...
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I have no answer for that. I don't know. I do know that you can see them, but, you know, all of the details about who are they and are they operating in our dimension or are they sort of ethereal or... I don't know, but I know you can see them.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I was kind of curious what, kind of, you know, what's the... What's the forethought out there, you know, what they're seeing? And
You know, here's another thing, and I have some questions about this. I didn't think of these questions until after I was back here, or I would have asked Ed Grimsley, and maybe he has an answer. But I just didn't have the presence of mind, I guess, to formulate the question. Whenever you look into the sky, you see what you see. When you look into the sky with night vision, you see a whole lot more that you can't see with your naked eye. You see stars and galaxies out there that your naked eye doesn't see. Okay?
Yeah.
So they're so far away that you're not seeing them with the naked eye. And you put these goggles up to your eyes and boom, there they are. So here's the question. These, we'll call them UFOs because we don't know who they are or what they are, but they're flying up there for sure. How far are they really? Are they out beyond the moon? Are they between the moon and Earth? I don't know. I can't tell. And I don't have enough experience with night vision. I've only done that once and saw some UFOs. So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But you see what I'm saying? If there are stars and galaxies that I cannot see with the naked eye, but I put night vision up and I can see them, that means I'm able to see way, way out there into space with night vision. So are these UFOs really way out there in space beyond the moon? Or are they in near Earth space between the moon and Earth? I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I was gonna say I didn't think it'd be, you know, that powerful that yeah, you can see other stars and stuff because of the, you know, the night vision, you know, when they're so bright, but you know, and you're getting through the atmosphere. But
let me tell you how sensitive they are. If you're using these night vision goggles and you point them towards a light, for instance a street lamp, and you hold them there and view the street lamp through the, it'll ruin them.
Yeah.
Okay, they're that sensitive. It will ruin them. These are truly for night vision.
Yeah, so. I just said that, you know, I believe that's going on. I know that, you know, the stuff they're seeing in Mexico a lot, they're using the flare. They're actually not seeing them, but they're flare technology that we have that we're...
Yeah, flare technology. Them. Yeah, forward-looking infrared radar.
Right.
Yeah, that's what that is.
I'm just trying to wrap my brain around whether this stuff is really interdimensional or, you know, or actually in our space. You know.
Yeah, it that's a good question, and I don't have the answer to it. Maybe someone else does, but I don't.
Okay, I'll just listen then. Thanks.
Thanks for the call. Fascinating question. Absolutely. Maybe you've got the answer to that. The telephone number is 623-237-3814. As I said, if you call that number, and the lines are already full, you get a recording that says that it, you can't reach that number at this time. And there are people that say, well, you know, the telephone number's not working. It is, that just happens to be a recording that you get, and I have no control over that, okay? All right, we're going to the telephone, and let's see. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kev. It's Boomer from British Columbia. How are you tonight?
Outstanding, Boomer.
Yeah, just listened to your last caller there. The types of UFOs I've seen with my night vision, the triangle ones, you can actually see through them. But the circular craft are solid objects.
You can see through the triangular ones?
I've seen the triangle. It's a humongous ship. I've seen it three times now, flying real slow. And you can actually see the stars faintly through the ship, believe it or not. At first, I thought it was three satellites traveling, you know, in unison, eh?
Uh-huh.
And then the second time I saw it, you could see a blinking light in the middle, just very subtly.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew it wasn't a satellite. But that, the triangle ones I've seen, the three times I've seen that type of ship, you can actually see through them. So if they're physically in our space, I don't know about the triangle ones. The saucers I've seen, they're definitely in our three-dimensional.
All right, well, now let me ask you the question that I posed. Are they between the moon and Earth? Or are they beyond the moon?
I think they're just above our atmosphere, Kevin. I think they're in space, you know, or the outer reaches of our atmosphere, you know, 10, 20 miles up, maybe 50 miles up. I don't know. But I think they're definitely within the high reaches of our atmosphere or close to it.
Okay. Well, like I say, I have no expertise with this. I've only seen through the night vision once, just that one night, and I did see some unidentified flying objects. They were circular, and they were definitely not stars, definitely not satellites, and not birds, not bugs. No question about it.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, any person with a reasonable mind, if they actually saw through these good quality ones, you know, these ones $3,000-$4,000, it will change their outlook on life, period.
It certainly will change your outlook on whether you've been told the truth about UFOs, for sure.
Absolutely. Thanks, Kev.
You bet. Thanks for the call.
Hey, Kev.
All right. Let's go to the telephone again. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and from where are you calling?
Hi, this is Bob from California.
Hi, Bob.
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
Outstanding, sir.
I was wondering, on that Ed Grimsley video, did you mention something about that showing something about the moon on there?
No. When we were talking about the moon, we were talking about this new film that has just come out, new movie. It's called Moon Rising. The director and producer is Jose Escamilla. Ed Grimsley is one of the executive producers. So that was the link with Ed Grimsley. But no, it's an entirely different movie.
I was just taking a look at a picture of the moon and some of the solar system. It's kind of interesting just to kind of look at pictures sometimes.
Yeah.
I was looking at the moon and I was thinking it's pretty important if there are pyramids or any other kind of structures up there, don't you think?
Oh, without question. If they are there, it is very important because they didn't get there by themselves. Someone built them.
I think we're on a first generation of questions from some of our observations, just questioning some of the basic things. But as is things with the Earth and other things, we know that sometimes there's processes. And sometimes I look at Mars and think there's got to be some kind of a life up there. And the scientists are probably looking for there to at least be some kind of bacteria so they can map out the genome and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The DNA and see... try to match it up with ours, and if they find a lot of common links, well then, number one, that'll tell that there was some kind of variation between the two planets, possibly. And the other thing I was thinking of is about the moon. It's interesting that if there were pyramids up there, like, why would they be there? I would guess it's just a nice place to stop on the way to Earth. And if you're looking at Mars and there was any kind of traveling back and forth for any reason, it seems like the moon would be a nice place to build something, don't you think?
Yeah. Now, think about this, though. The moon is far too big to actually be our moon. The Earth's gravity never has been strong enough to capture it.
You know what I was also wondering?
What's that?
I was wondering if there was life on Mars and there was all that water, there was probably some kind of an intelligent being that either took off or didn't make it or something. I mean, it appears from the pictures like it might have a lot of fossils and stuff out there. If there was an intelligent species on there at one time, I'm wondering, as the planet kind of got worse and it wasn't so much like Earth and it was more like what it is now, how come they didn't just come over to Earth and either terraform it and just take this planet away from the apes?
There is a theory that they did, and they is we.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know what I think about that theory, but that is a popular theory out there, that we are the Martians, that our ancestors actually originated there and migrated here. I don't know.
It seems to me the way that we are as humans and the way governments work and we work, unless there was some kind of a big change in the consciousness of all of the societies, looking at Mars, if it looked anything like Earth, I would imagine that there'd be corporations jetting there just to jack it and do anything that they could with it, and they surely probably wouldn't let life manage its course, which leads me to believe, you would think, are they better inside than us? You know, stuff like that, it's kind of interesting, too. All those questions arise when you, if you say that there are pyramids on the moon and it's actually a true thing.
Well, that's what is in this movie. And I'm only reporting what I saw in the movie, but you can see it very clearly in the movie. Now, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
What do you think? Was Mars populated with people that migrated to Earth as Mars died?
I just don't know, but I think it's extremely probable. Yeah. I think the probability of there being an extreme race of life on there is extremely, extremely probable, because they say that the conditions used to be more like Earth, which makes me wonder if even with cosmic radiation, if it was just better conditions and something arose, because we're talking like millions of years or thousands of years. I don't think that us as humans are really ready for how long time can change things and how slowly and things like that. I mean, so there's always these points, like in between the ice ages and stuff, where life can arise. Well, you know, maybe as going through different conditions, something raised to its heights and then took off and maybe put a temple on the moon, started some life over here, and maybe just went on. It's hard to tell, but looking at the DNA that you find from the bacteria on Mars, because they will find some eventually, whether it's bacteria or other things that they try to cover up for a while, You'll be able to match the DNA and just, you know, further the process in us understanding the whole evolution of this whole area.
Well, it will be interesting. You know, we have 223 genes in the human genome that, according to those working in the Human Genome Project, have no evolutionary precursors. All right? That means they're from somewhere else. It will be interesting if they find the precursors, or they find those genes in whatever bacteria they find on Mars. That would lend some credence to the theory that they is us.
Wow. You know, the funny thing is 20 years from now, the questions that we're asking are going to seem like Dark Ages questions, because science just multiplies so fast every year.
Well, that's true, and a lot of developments are snowballing now to outrun the establishment in science academia. Virtually everything they sold us as nailed down in concrete has been blown away since 1995. And, you know, right here on this show, I have challenged, and major physicists have agreed, that there are no laws of physics. There are no laws of physics. All there are descriptions of our current understanding of how things work. Well, our current understanding keeps changing.
I'm almost wondering if there's physics, but if you learn to outstand, or if you learn to utilize the physics outside of our dimension, like quantumly, inner or outer or on different planes, you can basically take control over our physical dimensions. But until we get some pretty good science under our belt, good 500 years, I don't think that we'll ever be able to just do whatever we want.
Well, but look, there are physics, but there are no laws of physics. He's left us. All right. There are physics, for sure. There are no laws of physics. There are descriptions of our current understanding of the way things work. That's it. And they call those laws of physics. Now, let me give you a good example. A good example is the speed of light. Now, they say that's the fastest speed there is. Pardon me. No, it isn't. It isn't the fastest speed there is. It's the fastest speed we have observed. But if you could add 1/10 of a mile per hour to the speed of light, is that possible? I mean, can you imagine the possibility of accelerating light just 1/10 of a mile per hour? It's traveling at 186,000 miles per second, give or take a few miles. 186,000 miles per second. Let's just speed it up 1/10 of a mile per hour. You think that might be technologically within our reach? Absolutely it is. Well, then that's faster than the speed of light. Now, we have only observed light to be, you know, that's the fastest speed we have ever observed. That doesn't mean it's the fastest speed that there is. It's the fastest speed we have ever observed. And there was a time before we had observed that. And, you know, maybe a speeding flying cannonball was the fastest speed we had ever observed. And then one day someone observed and calculated the speed of light. Now we say that's the fastest speed there is. Nonsense. It's the fastest speed we have observed and calculated. All right, let's go to the phone line and to our caller. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, this is Derek from Nampa, Idaho.
Okay, Derek, from where?
Nampa, Idaho.
Derek, are you willing to hang on through the break?
I sure am.
All right, you hang on. We'll be right back to you right after the break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Right, we are back. And, caller, I believe you said your name is Derek?
Yes, I'm a first-time caller.
Oh, you are. Well, I'll tell you what. Normally I have the applause all queued up and ready to go. I don't have those queued up because of changes I made today. So let me just applaud you personally. Thanks for the call.
All right.
All right, Derek, what is on your mind this evening?
Yes, basically I just wanted to put a note out there that basically I think that you do a great job. It's nice to see someone's out there standing up for the truth, and it's just good to hear.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. How did you find out about this show?
Actually, I started watching your show probably about 3 months ago, and ever since I've just been fascinated. Can't keep my eyes off of it.
Well, I'll tell you, I appreciate that. It's good to hear from you. And you're in Idaho?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's great, man. Tell all your friends about us.
Will do. And I have a question for you.
All right.
I'm not trying to change the subject at all, but...
Well, it's okay. It's open line live.
Okay. Well, I found Jerry Wells' story very fascinating. And basically, I was just wondering, has he thought about seeing if maybe another one of your viewing audience may go to a certain area, perhaps Stonehenge or somewhere where there might be another gate, and see if he could, either him or someone else, could go through one gate and see if they appear at the other one? And maybe they can get some photos of that, or perhaps do you think that he may be going into another alternate timeline?
I have no idea, and tell you the truth, I don't think Jerry has a firm idea as to if you're going into an alternate timeline or really what happens. Mark Felder didn't know for sure. He came on, you know, he went with Jerry down to the doorway in down in Peru. And I don't think he had a real firm grip on whether it's an alternate timeline or just exactly what happened to him. But they definitely passed through that rock. And when I say definitely, let me say that is what they say. Their testimony is that they passed through that rock, and they are somewhere else. Bizarre, bizarre information, but fascinating information. I don't think that they've tried the experiment of going to another doorway, but maybe they will. I don't know. I'm sure they haven't tried that. But maybe they will. I don't know.
Well, another thing I was wondering is, you know, that rock, I just wonder if perhaps that may be some sort of a ship, and they actually were able to merge themselves right into the ship. Because, I mean, I've heard that there are ships out there that people have touched, and it seems like they could just go right through it. And I just wonder if that's the case. You had a gentleman on. I can't quite remember his name, but he had a whole bunch of video and pictures of a UFO in Israel.
And, yeah, that was Barry Chamish.
Yes, that's the one.
Mm-hmm.
The one. And, you know, it's similar in color, though I can't quite make it out, you know, the when he shows the picture, but, you know, I just wonder if it's connected somehow.
It may be. You know, the other night we had William Rayling on, Bill Rayling. I videotaped the interview with him when I was out in Hollywood. And he talked about his father working at NASA, seeing what we call a UFO, and he saw inside it, and what he saw inside didn't match what he saw outside. Outside, he saw a ship that was about 30 feet across. Inside, he said it was the size of a basketball stadium, and just sort of a weird dimensional kind of thing. So, you know, who knows? You know, this doorway may be a craft that's on the ground that just looks like rocks to us. I don't know what it is. I know it's weird.
Yeah, I was just wonder what your ideas would be on that, and well, I just appreciate your time. I'll let the other callers call in, and I thank you for your time. You have a good day.
All right, and thanks for the call. All right, folks. I haven't thought really about that being a ship, but you know, you've heard me say, in the absence of evidence, all speculation is on the table. And, you know, who knows what it is? I have no idea what that doorway is or how it works, but it apparently does work, I mean, we've heard from Jerry, but we've also heard from other people that have been there, or at least one other person that's been there. I received an email from a lady who was there when Jerry went through the doorway, and she said, what Jerry told you is what we saw, what we experienced. And so I don't know. It's just a very, very strange story. And there's no reason to think that all these people are lying. You know, and I know Jerry personally now, and I don't think Jerry is in any way fabricating. I think he's telling exactly what happened to him. And Mark Felder, you heard his story and what happened to him. The telephone line is open, 623-237-3814. 623-237-3814. okay, Rob from Australia says, go Cardinals. and Bed Graham. All right, so Rob in Australia is for the Cardinals. Well, look, if you have some insight into the game, the Super Bowl that's coming up on Sunday, if you have some insight into that, I would love to hear from you. I will tell you, I work 7 days a week, but this Sunday there will be a break for the Super Bowl, and I will watch the Super Bowl. I'll take a break, actually take some time off from work and do something I just like, and that is watch the Super Bowl. Last year's Super Bowl was probably one for the history books. I mean, that was, usually Super Bowls are boring. But that one, wow, that was a game. I will have to say, though, that you have never, ever seen football until you watch Australian football, Australian rules. That is the most amazing, high-energy, brutal game you will ever watch. I don't know how those guys, and they don't wear all the pads and everything, you know, I mean, It's just bust you in the mouth kind of football. And if you've never seen Australian football, you owe it to yourself before you die to see Australian football. Now, that's football. And it gets me because the Aussies call it the footy. You know, it sounds like something dainty, doesn't it? But it isn't. I'll tell you, it is smash-mouth football. And it's some tough stuff. 623-237-3814. If you are an astrologer or a psychic and you have some insight into that game, be sure you give us a call and let us know. If you're outside the United States and you're outside of Canada and you don't wish to pay for the long-distance call, you can send me a flash message by going to my website, kevinsmithshow.com. And simply click the link. You'll scroll down and you'll see it. It's a green link and it says flash message. That will come straight to me right here on the control screen, and I'll quite be able to read it and respond to you. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey, Louisiana. I just wanted to call and mention about the football, Kevin, that it's amazing that the Cardinals are there for people that don't follow it. And then the one thing, you said Australian rules football. If anyone ever watched that, the field is so huge, and they run around constantly, and they hit each other at full speed without pads. But I will say this. They're not as big as the guys in the NFL. If the guys in the NFL were to play football, Australian rules football, or the football that they play without pads, people would die every week. The athletes here are just, they're too freakishly big, fast, and strong, and that's why they have as many injuries and concussions as they do nowadays. Or their athletic ability is going past our bone structure, and you have all these collisions. So I
agree with that.
Happy Sunday, and enjoy your day off or your little time off. And
yeah,
I'm a Steelers fan, so I can't say go Cardinals, but if the Cardinals beat them, hey, you know, it wouldn't be that bad because it's the Cardinals, you know.
If the Cardinals beat you, that's terrible.
Well, yeah, as far as that point.
But, you know, it is, let me say this, it is a different Cardinals team this time. But now, this is getting a little bit away from paranormal. It's just sort of into some of the stuff I'm interested in. But look, let me ask you to do this. Think about, take any NFL football team. I don't care which one. Take the Steelers. Take their pads off. Send them to Australia. Turn them loose on the field, Australian rules, against a top Australian football team. Who do you think will win?
Well, win the game would probably be the Australian rules football team, since they're used to playing it. But as far as when any kind of collision happens, they would lose that, because
I don't think so.
The sizes are a lot different.
Yeah, I don't think they would lose it. Size really doesn't matter. I'll tell you this. I've been in fights against guys a lot bigger than me when I was a cop. And the thing about a big man is that he hurts easier because he's got a bigger target area. And you take these Australian football players that are tough as hardened concrete, and put them out there on the field running full speed and hit these guys in the NFL that are used to pads, I think you're going to have a whole bunch of really big NFL players laying on the field holding their legs and their arms and their sides, and I think they're going to be hurt.
Well, you might be right, because that might be a sport to where a certain size is beneficial to be. Like maybe being 6'7" and 300 pounds would be a detriment, because you want to be more compact and more, have more wind. So you're probably right there. But as far as just you know,
in a wrestling match, NFL's probably going to win that. But out there, full speed ahead, smash mouth, no pads. I think Australian footballers are going to win it.
Well, unfortunately, we'll never see that happen.
Oh, I'd love to see it happen. You know what?
Yes, right. You have a good one, Kevin.
All right, thanks for the call. All right, well, we digressed from the paranormal, except in my little suppositions about NFL against Australian football. I got to tell you, I like the NFL. And I'm not saying anything bad about them here, but in that matchup, I think the Aussies win it. And that might be a little bit paranormal. All right, we'll be back right after this. Do not go away. Final approach, and that means we only have a few minutes left. We have time for one more call. 623-237-3814. 623-237-3814. That's the number to call. Now, I need to tell you that some of the music you hear on this show, some of the music on tonight's show, is from music.podshow.com. It's some of it also from GarageBand.com. Both of those are sites where you can engulf yourself. You can be engulfed in thousands of great songs by independent artists from all over the world. Okay? There's not any music on this show that is commercially licensed music. It is all independent artists who have made their music available for shows just like this one. All right, we're going to the phone line, if I can get this to respond. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Rex from Miami.
Hi, Rex. How are you this evening?
Hey, good.
Good. What's on your mind?
There was something that I had happen in Miami a while back. Thought I'd see if you'd ever heard of this type of a thing.
Okay.
Well, I was outside my house waiting for a super shuttle to pick me up, take me to the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Early in the morning, like maybe 4 or 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
And I saw this thing kind of metallic, about the size of a basketball, that went straight over the houses in a straight line, probably about 20 feet in the air, moved slowly, silently, you know, no visible signs of propulsion. probably too small, I assume, to be like a, you know, manned or anything. I'm assuming it was like a probe.
And did it make any noise?
No, totally silent.
Mm-hmm.
Except it was about maybe 10 feet above the roof line of the highest houses. Went straight over. No light or anything. There was enough, like, moonlight and stuff to be able to see what it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen this on two different occasions, two different days at about the same time.
What time was it?
Like, it felt like I'm guessing it was a probe.
Uh-huh. What time of day was this?
Probably like 4 or 5 in the morning.
And it made no sound whatsoever?
No. And like I said, it was maybe, you know, 20, 25 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
I probably could have hit it with a rock if I'd had one, you know, and if I could throw straight.
Might not be a good idea.
That's what I was thinking. Not a good idea to throw rocks at unidentified objects.
And let me ask you this. When was the last time you saw this thing?
This was probably back in the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it's happened. It was in a house I owned before. I haven't seen this in the house I live in now, but I saw it twice at that location, you know, like maybe a month apart.
Well, actually, I have heard of that. I've heard, and you can see on the internet various unmanned probes that seem to be probes flying around in various places. I think the latest one has been out in California, and I think it was in the San Diego area. People have quite a number of people have seen these unmanned aerial objects, I think there have been some videotaped out here in the Phoenix, Arizona area as well. I'm just trying to draw out of my memory. It's been a long time since I've looked at material reports on this kind of thing. But I think there were some out here in the Phoenix area as well. Do you have any theories or conjecture as to what this is?
Well, not really. Like I said, the probe is what I think because it's too small to be manned. Although after hearing your guest the other night when they talked about the spaceships with larger interior dimensions,
yeah,
I suppose, you know, everything's possible. But at least from a conventional point of view, you know, I can't imagine anything living inside something that small. So I assume it was a probe. It was going very systematically right down the house lines.
Mm-hmm.
I assume it was probably measuring something. I don't know what would be of interest to it.
Do you think it was terrestrial or extraterrestrial in origin?
Could have been either. It didn't look that exotic. I mean, other than the fact that it could keep itself up and it was perfectly smooth and no antennas, no rotors, nothing, no smoke, or, you know, no visible signs whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, I could go either way on that. It wasn't that exotic.
Did it frighten you?
What's that?
Did it frighten you at the time?
No, it was just curiosity.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, it was not aggressive. It didn't react toward me in any way. It was coming in a straight line, and it left in the same direction it came. Didn't pause or anything as it went over. So, no, not scary at all, just a curiosity.
All right, now, you see, that is a UFO. Even if it's terrestrial, it is unidentified to us. We don't know what it is. It's in the air, so it's flying, and it's real, it's material, so it's an object. And a lot of times when we use the word UFO, the uninitiated automatically think flying saucer and little green men. Well, nobody in the UFO community has ever talked about little green men. That was made up by the media. And when we talk about UFOs, we're talking about anything that's in the air that we cannot identify, and you know, that makes it a UFO. So this would be a UFO, but you know, maybe someone on Earth can identify it, but you can't and I can't. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a UFO.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Have you ever seen any other UFOs?
Not nearly that close. What I've seen in Miami is I've several times seen lights in the sky make an abrupt angle.
Yeah.
Way too sharp, you know, obviously for a meteor or anything else. I've seen that a few times, but far enough out to where it was just a dot of light. So I have no idea of what, you know, what the shape was. I've seen that a few times. And twice when I've been on a plane and I've looked out the window, I've seen what I thought was another plane, but it may just be my interpretation, but at very, very close range, totally quiet. And in retrospect, I'm thinking it couldn't have been a plane, conventional anyway. Would have been noisier and would have been a little dangerous too, because it looked to me like it was right off pretty much the edge of the wingtip.
Uh-huh.
So,
was it shaped like a plane?
Well, all I could really see was just some lights, running lights on it, and it made me think of a plane, but, you know, in retrospect, I think that's probably not very likely.
You know, Japan...
Not a good look at it, but...
There was a Japan airline flight several years ago. John Callahan talked about this on the air here, and John Callahan was, at the time that this happened, the number two man in the FAA. But this Japan Airlines flight reported a UFO off their wingtip, and then it passed them, and it was a cigar-shaped UFO, and it was, they said, the size of three aircraft carriers. Now, that's big.
That's impressive.
That's big. That means you could land this 747 or this Airbus, whatever it was, on that craft. And
that's huge. What I thought would have been probably closer to the size of maybe a fighter jet or something.
Uh-huh.
The size. Yeah, if I saw something the size of three aircraft carriers, that that would make an impression.
Yeah. Yeah, it would. Well, listen, man, I appreciate the call, and I believe you've called us before, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, keep things safe down in Florida for us.
Okay.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, we've just run out of time. I wish we had more. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do, too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.